Welcome to another episode of That's So Cincinnati, the sports edition. No, not really. I'm here with my co-host, Burl Love. Today's special guest is Dwayne Herring. He is the Director of Stadium and Event Operations at Paycor Stadium. I don't know if you've heard.
Is something going on at the stadium? We're talking about Paycor Stadium.
We're talking about Paycor Stadium. We're going to be talking about the Taylor Swift concert and all the logistics around it. And we're going to talk about the Bengals because it's the Bengals. We have to ask.
No, what a great guest to bring in, Sherry. The person who is so deeply involved in putting together what's probably going to be, you know, one of the biggest music events in the city's history. What do you think?
I mean, I'm writing a story about it, and I've had people compare it to the Beatles and Elvis, so I'm going to go with yes.
All right. But we have another hot ticket in town. All of a sudden, coming out of nowhere.
Oh, I see what you did there.
I am the king of segues, let me tell you. So as we sit here, the Cincinnati Reds have won 11 games in a row. They haven't done that since 1957, I believe, when they won 12 in a row. And the team that many people predicted after last season's 100 loss effort to not do much better is all of a sudden in first place all by themselves in the NL Central. And now there's only single seats available for Friday's game against the Braves. What happened?
I don't know, because
what?
I just remember
out of nowhere.
We were just writing stories that it was the least amount of fans ever in Great American Ballpark, and like with a picture of like people like dotted around the stadium. And now, as you said, that is a very real thing for the weekend.
And all of these hot prospects, Ellie De La Cruz and the rest of them, are doing so well that when Joey Votto came back, people were a little bit afraid. Like, where are we going to put Joey Votto, and who's which one of these hot young players are going to have to be benched to make room for him. So, I mean, this is, I mean, I won't say it's unexpected, but, you know,
we were hoping
the Reds rebuild would, you know, bring results, but this came quick.
I think the lesson out of it is youth. Never discount being young, and I never discount
and not knowing that the odds are against you. They're fun to watch, the whole thing with the Viking helmet, you know, they just back each other up all the way. I was listening to former podcast guest Jeff Brantley, the Cowboy, you know, who's a former Reds player. He's been around the majors, and he recognizes a quality that winning teams have is that they don't give up. Even if they're behind, which the Reds have come from behind now, I think four of their last wins were come from behind wins. The bullpen is holding up. But there is a factor I want to bring up on this podcast that might be at play here.
Okay, I'm listening.
It's called the Enquirer factor.
Ooh.
Yes, and I wrote about it in my column.
I know where this is going.
You know where this is going. So let's flash back to the end of the 2020 NFL season. And we hire a brand new Bengals beat writer, Kelsey Conway. And when we offered her when we offered her the job, the Bengals had just come off a 4-win season. And I was almost apologetic to her. I was like, you know, Kelsey, you know, the team not doing that well. There's questions about Zach Taylor's ability to coach. Joe Burrow just blew out his ACL. You know, it might be a few tough years, but they're going to get better. They're going to get better. They're going to be a fun team. You mark my words. But I was almost apologetic because, you know, who wants to come in and cover a losing team? That very next season, her first season covering the Bengals, they go to the Super Bowl. And so I thought, maybe it's the Kelsey Conway factor. Mm-hmm. But now, this season, we lost our Bengals writer, our Reds writer, Bobby Nightingale.
To his hometown team.
He got hired by the Minneapolis or the St. Paul Tribune. Or no, he's at the, where is he? He's not in St. Paul. He's in Minneapolis. Yeah,
but,
he's at the Star Tribune, which was the paper his mom worked at. He's always wanted to be there. He's always wanted to cover his favorite team, the Twins, and he had that opportunity. So we wished him well. We love Bobby. But we brought in a guy named Gordon Wittenmeyer, who, when he took over the Reds beat on June 5th, the Reds were 5.5 games out of first place, and they were still reeling from, I think they started the season like, you know, 7-15. They were just like terrible. As soon as Gordon started, they started winning. Gordon's record, the record of the Reds since Gordon's been here, is like 14-2. Coincidence?
I think not.
Well, I write about some weird baseball superstitions, and I think this fits right in there. Like, if the Cincinnati Inquirer starts a new Reds writer, that is an omen of good things to come.
Okay, I agree with that. And I don't think we should leave FC Cincinnati out there.
Oh, no.
Because they are the longest MLS, Major League Soccer, the longest home streak of wins.
Yeah, 10,
in MLS. Who 10. Would have thought that? Who would have thought that last year, the year before, maybe the Wooden Spoon years?
Oh, it's a great time to be a Cincinnati
sport. It really
is. It's a great time to be alive.
You know, it's the moniker has been coined on social media, Wincinnati.
Wincinnati?
Wincinnati.
Not Wince, like, ooh, but Wincinnati. Yes. I like that. All right, well.
We'll look forward to your column.
It's live
all
right, for all
to read.
All right,
we got to talk about Taylor, though.
All right, let's do it.
Okay. Special guest time here on That's So Cincinnati, or as we like to call it here, the countdown to the Taylor Swift concert. Welcome, Dwayne.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So, you know, we really are in the countdown. Just because the podcast posts on different days, I won't give everyone the exact like timing, but we are in countdown mode for sure. And what better guest to have on during that time than the person who's, I think, in charge of all the logistics is what I hear.
That may be a bit generous, but thanks for that. We have a great team, and I'm one of many who are spending a lot of time focusing on making sure that these two shows offer our fans and her fans a tremendous experience.
So can you take us, I do want to talk a little bit about you. Like, how do you get the job of director of stadium and events? Like, that seems like an amazing job. How do you get that job? How long have you been in the job?
Well, my path to this job is actually probably a bit unconventional. Believe it or not, when I joined the Cincinnati Bengals 7.5 years ago in October of 2015, I came here to oversee ticket sales. So I've been in a ticket sales role for most of my career in this industry, which is now in year 17. It wasn't until about 6-7 months ago when, you know, obviously people know the past couple of years have been pretty exciting. We've reached sellout status. We have a wait list for season ticket members.
Your job's done.
You could say so. You could say
they needed to assign you something else to do.
Which is a little bit of how that conversation went, actually. For me, you know, reaching sellout and waitlist status was a highlight of my professional career. You know, you work in ticket sales, you can work many years, never reach a championship game, or never get to a sellout. And we got to do both of those things in the span of about a year, which is super exciting for me. But definitely through my time here working in ticket sales with the Cincinnati Bengals, we always were looking at what are the fans telling us about the experience? And that naturally lends itself to things like, well, what is the parking experience like? What is the food and beverage experience like? And how are the interactions with all of our game day staff as they pass through our security and then get their tickets scanned and then enter and try to find their seats? And so I was already naturally like bleeding into some of those different areas. And now, again, with ticketing being in a pretty good spot, and we've got a new individual who's going to help take that into the next level, which is great and excited for him. I'm going to get to focus full time on things that are all going to impact our fans' experience, primarily looking at Bengals games, but we get a nice fun couple trial runs with Taylor Swift.
I do feel like I should ask before we leave the topic of the Bengals. I mean, was it even possible to sell more season tickets for this upcoming season than it was for last season? Like, was that even, or is it just like a sellout last year is a sellout this year?
Good question. The way I would answer that is we had an incredibly high renewal rate.
I bet you did.
But not 100%. Okay. And so, sure, we had a few people that were able to, you know, lucky individuals coming off our wait list that were able to rejoin or join in and become first-time season ticket members for the upcoming season.
So how does that process work if somebody's listening right now thinking, you know what, I've been wanting to do this a long time. I want to get on the wait list. What's that process like? And
we hope it's a pretty easy process. Jump on Bengals.com. You can actually learn all about what it's about to be a season ticket member deposit holder. It's only $150 per seat that you're looking to get into. And it puts you on the list just like any other waiting list, right? And you work your way up. We'll offer updates on an annual basis about where you stand.
Is it like a library loan where you're like, you're 100 of 400 copies? Is it like that?
Something like that, right? I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm on Libby as well, and I check out books. So it is a lot like that. But you just can imagine the enjoyment that you get when you get that phone call from our team saying you're up and it's time to pick out your seats.
That would be exciting, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would.
So
I'm still in the mooch off my friends tickets phase of my life.
And that's why you have many friends, right? So you mentioned you joined the Bengals, did you say 7 years ago?
I did.
Where were you before joining the Bengals?
I've had a few different stops, which have all been super awesome. Before I joined the Bengals, I was with the Houston Astros. I like to tell people and remind people that this was before they won all their World Series championships. This was actually at a time where they were rebuilding and doing it quickly and doing it very efficiently. But I was there from 2012 to 2015, and I was overseeing season ticket sales for them. Prior to Houston, I spent a year in the neat city of Buffalo, New York. I wasn't with a professional sports team there. I was actually helping out with the university at Buffalo, helping them sell football, men's and women's basketball. And then I got my start in the industry with the Arizona Diamondbacks back in 2006, where I started off as an entry-level ticket sales rep, making about 100 phone calls a day.
Yeah.
And trying to cut my teeth in this industry.
Okay. What was appealing about coming to Cincinnati and joining the Bengals? Because at the time, they weren't exactly lighting, the world on fire.
At the time, I will respectfully correct you that in 2015, they started that year 8-0. That was Andy Dalton, AJ Green.
That's right.
Their fifth year of being together. And
let me rephrase that. In the postseason, they had an issue with, even if they got to the postseason,
yes.
One and done.
Yes. I'm really glad you asked the question. I hope that this will be an opportunity for people to get a little bit of an insight into our awesome organization, but truly starts at the top with ownership and the leadership we've got. And my opportunity to come and fly in from Houston and meet with Katie Blackburn and Troy Blackburn and a few others and really get to hear what they were all about. In my industry, all we ever talk about is go to a place where you know the people you're going to work with and work for are good people. The rest will take care of itself. This was, for me, the first time in my career where I took a leap not knowing the people. I didn't have a connection to this organization. They found me through some of the work that I've been doing in Houston and with Arizona. And it really was feeling it out and understanding what they're about. And you really, it doesn't take long to understand these are real down-to-earth people. Yes, they own and run an NFL franchise, but these are real people who approach our day-to-day issues with a down-to-earth approach that I think any one of us can appreciate. So that was how I got here. And why I've stayed here longer than I've been in any other place is because of the people throughout the rest of the organization. You know, it started with ownership, but the people that I've been able to work with, work for, and who have worked for me have been a big reason why this place is a special place.
All right. You can start asking about Taylor Swift now. I can see you just waiting. Come on, Burl.
Speed it along. All right. That's going to be here before we know it, and it's super important. we have been watching practice. So there's a break in practice.
That's right.
And what did you decide to do? Did you decide to go on vacation during the break in practice this year, or did you decide to have the biggest event the city
Maybe
ever had? I know that might be
now. Let's wait a minute. The Beatles came here, right? So, I don't know.
Well, yeah, we'll have to wait till after, and then we can assess.
We'll have to let history decide that.
Yes.
But
I think I know where history will be on this one.
So when did you find out Taylor Swift was kind of like, you know, we're looking at your stadium?
Oh, my goodness.
Did she call herself? How did that go?
Yeah, right. So Live Nation works with representatives from our club. And, you know, these conversations, I can't say that I've been a fly on the wall on them, but I know that these are conversations that take place almost a year in advance. But that news doesn't stay quiet or secret for very long. So as you guys know, you've certainly experienced and read the stories about ticket on sales and just how she broke the internet. And it's fascinating.
And people's hearts. I had friends and that have daughters that were trying to get tickets and couldn't get through. Yeah. And just like it was devastating. Breaking the internet, breaking hearts.
I like to think less about breaking the hearts because that does make me feel bad. While I have nothing to do with the way the tickets are sold, it's understandable. And people are very, very passionate. That's one thing that's for sure come through is that her fans are incredibly passionate and will do anything they can possibly do to even just hear the show.
Was the second show kind of like that you were like, we could have a second show? Or was she like, ooh, we need to have a second show?
Good question. Second show, the Friday show, which believe it or not, I mean, chronologically, Saturday was the first announced. Friday came quickly after, was always a possibility and one we prepared for. We already had the dates cleared. We had the manifest ticketing build out ready to go. What was sort of a surprise was the potential for a third show, which didn't come to be, as you know, but, that one was one that there was about a 72-hour period of time there where would there be, could there be, and ultimately decided no.
On Sunday or Thursday.
Right.
Which, either way.
Would have been Thursday.
Wow. Would that have been unique to this market to have three shows? Does she do three Garth another?
And Garth has done three, right?
Here, Garth did two, but Garth might have done three in other cities.
Okay.
Taylor has done three in other cities. Large markets like Los mm-hmm. Angeles. In fact, I think at SoFi Stadium, I know she did at least three.
She could have done it here, but we'll take our two and we will not complain.
Let's not be greedy, Sherry.
I know, we won't complain.
So I think one of the good things about this for the market is that we have been skipped over by large touring acts in the not so distant past. Do you think this recalibrates Cincinnati as far as a, you know, first tier stop for big touring acts?
Yes, I do. And not only that, I think that that's not lost on so many of the different individuals and entities that are a part of pulling this show off. One thing that frequently comes up in so many of our coordination and planning calls is let's make this a first-class experience for everyone involved, for all the stakeholders, but most importantly, the fans. But we know that Live Nation is watching. We know that acts are watching to see how we conduct ourselves, how we handle the execution and pull off this event. And we know the fans are going to step up. That was never a question. So yes, I do think this could help to recalibrate the way other large scale stadium type tours think about coming to Cincinnati.
And this really was, like, this was the hope, right? That we would be able to have, like, a Taylor Swift caliber person come here. And, like, how long do you feel like that hope has been like, okay, we're ready, let's go?
Well, you had a little bit of it last year, right? I mean, concerts coming to Paycor Stadium is not a new thing. But when Garth came here, and obviously his show was so delayed due to COVID, but when it finally got here, it was so fun to see that happen. Great show, great fans. Really, we pulled it off. And there aren't, you know, you can count on maybe two hands how many performers can fill a stadium, and let alone do it two nights in a row. But there's no question, this has to be the goal, right? We have this amazing downtown setup with the banks. And the amount of coordination across, like I said, the city, the county, the tour, the club, everybody's pulling in the same direction to pull this off because we want it to be a great experience.
So, all right. So we know she's coming and two nights. Can you talk about the logistics a little bit for us? Like, and how important this is that everyone know the logistics?
Well, it's no small feat, right? It takes so many people to pull off a show like this. But give credit to the touring group. They have come out and done site visits, scouting trips to come out and check out the stadium to help coordinate with all the folks who work with the Cincinnati Bengals, with Paul Brown Stadium Limited, the managing company that oversees the building. And not only that, but to work with all the different entities, the local entities, who will help coordinate where parking will be, when trucks pull in, getting all the security clearances, getting all the permits. There's just so much that goes into this. But it's nice when you have a tour that knows what they're doing and knows what to ask for and how to ask for it so that we can go ahead and get those things set up so that when they get here, it's all turnkey. But that doesn't happen on accident, right? There are planning calls that happen months and months and months out in advance. I think fans would be interested to hear that, like, right now, as we record this, there's the floor is going in. And this again, is well-coordinated effort because players just wrapped up last week and they're off for the next 6 weeks until training camp starts. So that clears and paves the way for the flooring to come in and be set down on the field here at Paycor Stadium. Next week, stage set up. And then that happens with just a massive number of trucks that will come in for the tour. And then...
Do you have to have local people here that help with everything, like a group of people here, or does everyone just come with all of the apparatus and know what they're doing to put it all together and they stay on the tour?
A lot of the labor happens is pulled from local right here in this market, which I appreciate and respect. Now there's obviously people who do tour and they know exactly how to get this thing going, right? You got to have leadership that knows where all this goes, where the setup happens. But really, it's an impressive amount of coordination is all I will say. And there can be up to 30 people sometimes from different entities, from Tank and Sorta and Metro, to CPD and to Hamilton County Sheriffs and just making sure that everybody is on the same page. That's what I think has been so impressive to me, is that on these calls, we've got engagement from everyone and everyone is pulling the flywheel in the same direction.
So you pointed out that from our lavishly appointed studio, perched high atop Elm Street, we can peer down into the stadium, and the surface that's going to cover the field is already in place. You can kind of see the beginnings of what this is going to look like. I imagine right now at this phase, let's just call it the project, we're a week away. But we haven't always been this close. And so at some point, I mean, what kept you up at night before we got to this point? I mean, we're setting up the stadium now. It probably has a life of its own at this point. But in the earlier stages of pulling off an event this large, what did keep you up at night? What were some of the challenges that you or the Bengals or the stadium management had to overcome?
That's a good question. It'd be unfair to say nothing, but I would say that we've been fortunate to have learned from all the different places she's been already. And so we've had really a lot of advanced calls with different cities that have hosted the show. And we learn a little bit from every single one of those calls. And I guess I lose more sleep now knowing some of the things that we didn't know 6 months ago. A good example of that would be for us, just the sheer number of people who are going to descend upon the banks and not have a ticket to the show, but want to be around.
Just be here and
experience it. And that's different and unique from almost any other event we would host here. I mean, even for Bengals games, we know there are plenty of people who come down here to tailgate but don't come to the game. But I don't know. I mean, based on what we're hearing from other cities, I mean, this could be in the tens of thousands of fans who don't have a ticket who will be here. And if I could, with the audience, I will say, that's great and we're excited for you to be here. And we would ask that you would enjoy that experience from along the banks, from the lawn at the Andrew J. Brady Music Venue, or at Smale Park. whatever experience that you're looking for, you'll kind of cater to one of those three areas. But we do need to keep the plaza clear to people who have a ticket only, just for safety reasons.
What other pro tips do you have for people coming to the show?
Arrive early.
Like 2 days
What's early?
Like get down here on Wednesday.
Okay. I love this. This is a soapbox I get for a minute. You have mobile tickets. Add those mobile tickets to your digital wallet.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah. Don't even try to download them at the last minute. There will be no cell service.
Do that
now. And that's a pro tip for our staff here, too. There's going to be no connectivity around here. Yeah. So that's a good one.
So add your mobile tickets to your digital wallet. I would say arrive and park early if you must park. There are many other solutions other than driving yourself down here. Rideshare is one. Being dropped off is another. There's a great park and ride solution that the Transit Authority of Northern Kentucky is putting together, TANK. If you want to learn more about that, go head on over to the TANK website. But they're offering, for I think a very affordable rate, I think I want to say close to $6, to park at Northern Kentucky, and they will bus you over within a couple of blocks of the stadium, and they will be waiting for you after the show, and they will bus you back to your car. But if you must park, come down here early. There'll be the Central Riverfront Garage on Friday will open as early as 9:30. On Saturday, it's going to open at 8:30. The parking lot.
A.M.
A.M. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Clarify. We do anticipate parking around our venue and all around Great American Ballpark will sell out as we approach the showtime.
By show? Oh, in the daytime? Like just drive in and park? Not like ahead of time, right?
Clarify.
Like drive. You'll still be able to park there day of, just early in the day. You can't buy advanced parking.
You can't on Friday because, as everybody knows, the Reds are playing, and they're at 5:10 p.m. first pitch there. So they'll
and have, they moved that time up, didn't they?
They did, from 7:10 to 5:10.
See how this community works together. Uh-huh. Isn't that swell?
Not only that, but Saturday, when the original MLB schedule came out Saturday, the Reds had an evening game, or a late afternoon game anyway, and they moved that up to 1:40. And when our Saturday show was announced, now when the second show Friday came about, just until recently, it was when the Reds moved from 7:10 to 5:10 p.m. But yeah. No advance sales for Taylor Swift parking on Friday. Saturday, there is. Head on over to Ticketmaster.com and search Taylor Swift Paycor Stadium parking, and you will see we still have some availability for parking now at the time of this recording.
So, you know, we didn't talk about actually the sheer numbers. It was a little more than 60,000 tickets sold for each show, right?
Correct.
And the stadium seats 64, so it's not every, because of how the stage is configured, right? So you've thrown bigger events than Taylor Swift, weirdly, right?
True.
Playoff games.
Oh, yeah, yeah. In fact, we set records in the last couple of years, selling out even some of our obstructed view and some standing room seats. We've reached 67,000 inside the stadium. Capacity is normally closer to 65,000. For this show, 62,000 is our capacity. Yes, given the fact that the stage is located on the north end zone, and so some of the seats behind stage are not being sold for the show. But she does make up for a lot of that with floor seating.
So, and then expecting 100, I heard the number 100,000 downtown, like at the banks. Is that, it's probably hard to guess, huh?
I believe it. I think that there is going to be a lot. There's the banks I know is putting on a fan fest of sorts between noon and 7 p.m. both days. People will want to be a part of that. How much overlap between those folks and the folks who come into the stadium for the show, hard to say. But another thing we're telling fans who are going to get dropped off and not take rideshare or not drive themselves, tell your family member or friend to drive downtown and park. Come down to the banks and hang out at the banks. There will be enough going on during the show that'll keep your family member or friend occupied and entertained while they're at the show, and then meet up after the show and drive home like anyone else who parked at the stadium. So that's an option. If you must get dropped off, though, if I could, I'll share. There are two locations that our traffic and engineering departments with the City of Cincinnati and our CPD have approved. So we'll ask that parents or friends dropping off someone who's going to the show to do so on the south curb lane of Maring Way, starting at Central Avenue and going westbound. So they can drop off and they can move on through, and they would avoid the worst of any of the traffic. And it'll also be a pretty close place for your passenger to get dropped off. Same place as where you would pick up after the show. So you can start queuing on the south curb lane of Maring, starting at Central, and then the queuing would go west. The alternate spot that you've got available to you is the north curb lane on 2nd Street. So 2nd Street obviously heads east one way, but the north curb lane on 2nd Street is an option only between Elm and Walnut. And that will be more airport style, so you have to keep it moving, right? But once your passenger or guest, in this case, is there, they join you, active pickup or active drop-off, and then you can...
And I'm guessing there will be police officers making sure people don't just park there and move it along and...
Absolutely. Well, we've got great coordination with CPD, and it's all hands on deck for this.
All right, so I have a question.
Maring Way is the Coolidge secret. Ugh. Like, because we know, because we've worked down here and we're really down here all the time. And, like, Maring Way is really... You know, just look at a map. The Inquirer will have maps up, I'm sure, next week. And really, you guys look at that, because Maring Way will seem like, I don't really drive down there. It's kind of winds around. It is going to be the easiest way and is now no longer my secret.
My secret's McFarland Alley.
Oh, people don't. Spurl.
Yeah, I know, right? Especially because they're doing some construction there.
Yeah, ask your question. Here's
my question. You don't have to answer it, obviously, but I'm curious to know how many of the Bengals players were like, Dwayne, can you hook me up? And who were they?
Oh, this answer is going to be so boring to you. The players don't know who Dwayne Herring is. So they are not hitting me up for tickets. And I'm sure they have plenty of great access to tickets if they need them.
Oh, okay. Boy, that was a dud.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, now, I'm expecting all of them.
All right. So I'll try another one. Where will you be Friday or Saturday night?
On the move. That night, we'll be putting in probably 25,000 steps each show night. And that's not totally atypical from what I do at a Bengals game, but spending a lot of time monitoring how the traffic flow is going, how our parking situation is looking, you know, in the several hours leading up to gates open.
At 4, right? Because we didn't actually say the time.
We didn't say that. And it's not 4, it's 4:30.
4:30, okay.
4:30, gates open. We do expect there to be significant lines building up prior to 4:30. There is... I will simply say this. There's no need. Seats are all assigned. So there's no need to rush the floor or if you have floor seating or if you want to rush to your seat. Getting here early is a good idea. Lining up 2 hours before the gates open is probably not the best idea.
You know, people are going to want that social media content. Like, Paycor is getting what they paid for.
That's right.
Well, I have no further questions.
I do. Okay, it's a big caravan, right? Of like 75 trucks coming. Like, it's a big apparatus, right?
That's right.
Are you allowed to say when they arrive, or is it a secret?
We'll say they'll arrive next week.
Okay.
But they all have a purpose, and they will all need to unload. I'll give a ton of credit to the tour, though. They've got this thing down like a science, and I mean, even to the loadout. I mean, like, load in is impressive, but load out probably is equally impressive, just because that show ends, and as soon as fans exit the building, that floor is coming up, the stage is getting broken down, and they're on to the next one. And they'll start load out, even, believe it or not, in the middle of her Saturday show.
How about merchandise sales? I heard this is like a huge thing.
Merchandise, we are hearing, is huge. Yes. Here's what we know so far. Merch will have a setup that's just outside of Paycor Stadium, planned to be located on Race Street, just south of Freedom Way. And they'll start conducting business there on Thursday morning, next Thursday before the show, a week from today. We're hearing 10 a.m. is the start time for when they'll open up, but we know lines will queue. So we were just asking that lines would queue west from there along Freedom and then head south on Elm, and if necessary, wrap back east on Maring Way.
That is a long line. That's
just
a long
for the
line.
Merch.
We're going to have more stuff on that too, you guys. You're planning on covering that because we really did hear that that's a big thing. All right. So now I know I never like to qualify questions with, I know you're probably not going to answer, but since Burl already did that, I'm going to, does she have like a rider? Do you have to do like special things? Like, what does she need?
No comment.
Oh, but you know, I don't think I've read anything about it. That does seem to be like a big secret. Did you hear about like the stars and all the things they want, like, you know, a warm Diet Coke or like, all right.
What I've heard
is
that
we are a Pepsi building.
Oh, sorry.
What I've heard is Taylor Swift Inc., when it comes to something like this, is so large that she's so removed from that. Like she, you know, it's just like a big corporation, and you know that there's layers and layers and layers to get to the green M&M's clause of the contract. So,
all right. So apparently, this is the podcast of questions you can't answer, because I will say the number one question that I've gotten. I mean, a lot of people are like parking, but everyone's going to be answering that question. Like, I'm not like that information will be out there. The number one question I think I am getting from people that I definitely don't have the answer to, and you're not going to tell me, is where does she stay? Like, my guess is like a gated community in like Indian Hill, but can you say, does she stay?
I don't know the answer to
you
that
don't
question.
Know? Oh my gosh. Okay.
I don't know the answer
you know
to that
she
question.
Just comes for the concert at some point.
Yeah. She's not consulting me for any of these types of questions and issues that she's facing. So.
She's just going to pop up after the show in Main Strauss, hanging out with people.
Wouldn't that be something?
Wouldn't that be?
Yeah, I think that, look, we hear it's an unbelievable show. She's going to play for over 3 hours straight. And I think that everything we're hearing is everybody is glued to their seat for 3+ hours as she performs, as they should be. And our goal is to make sure that everything that leads up to that point and even after that point goes as smoothly as possible for them. And so for that, that's why we talk about these pro tips. You know, arrive early, figure out your parking well in advance, save those mobile tickets to your digital wallet. One thing we didn't get to talk about, if I could for just a minute, is rideshare. We hear that rideshare is a big, big part of what people are going to use their mode of transit to come down here and to leave. So we want people to know that we have dedicated a whole lot near close to the stadium. It's just west of Paycor Stadium called Hilltop North. You can find that if you look in Waze. But both Uber and Lyft are geofencing the area, and they will ask all their drivers to queue in Hilltop North for after the show. And also when you're getting dropped off, they're going to drop you off at Hilltop North. It's a short walk to Paycor Stadium, but it'll keep their experience, both the rider and the drivers, clear of the headaches of any kind of traffic that might be here for people who are looking to try to park. So it keeps them removed from that congestion. So for rideshare, remember Hilltop North is your dedicated lot for both drop off and pickup.
That's a good tip.
That is a very good tip.
Yeah.
Because the further west you go, like the whole Maring Way is not where the banks are. Because correct. People, and it's not where the hotels are, where people are coming. The hotels are sold out. We know that. We've written about that. And so the parking does like this kind of thing. The more west you go, the easier things are.
That's right.
Again, a Coolidge secret.
Not anymore.
Like even for the Pride Parade coming up this weekend, like I will be dropped off like at the very west end of town. There's no use coming in. The streets are closed. It's a long parade. It's just best to get dropped off and walk.
Yes. Yes. I think that like anything else, if you come into a major event like this, some planning at home will pay major dividends as you get down here. To alleviate the stress of this, we want this to be a fun time, not a stressful time. So get here early, enjoy the banks. Don't wait till the last minute to enter the gates. Gates open at 4:30. We've already talked about that. Have your mobile ticket ready. We are clear bag policy for the show. So,
oh, that's good to know.
Yes.
Okay. Everything bring on Bengals games, small bags, right?
And clear bags.
Oh, yes. So but this is clear only.
Same as NFL. So, okay. Well, clear bags. And then yes, you're allowed to bring your small clutch type bags. But honestly, the less you bring, the better, right? Just,
you know, we've already planned our outfits now. Come on. That's like a whole big thing. That's part of it. Not things we would ask you about, but like the outfit planning's a thing.
Outfit planning. Don't forget your bracelets.
He's a stylish guy. He probably could weigh in on the proper Taylor Swift attire.
Oh, goodness.
I couldn't. I couldn't.
If anyone needs advice.
You have to dress which era that you like, right?
Yes.
So many to choose
from. What's
your
era, Sherry?
Red. My outfit's already planned. I did plan my outfit around things I already own, but.
Is country an era, and what is it called?
Country.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. All right. All right.
What do you think?
Wait, are you going? Hold on. We have not ascertained.
No, I'm not going. Okay. I mean, I'm not. I would love to, but I have no plans to go right now. But yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, this is like we were talking earlier. This is kind of like very comparable, and you're suggesting that might blow away the memory of the Beatles at Crosley Field, which I was too young for, but because I wasn't even born then, but. But yeah, I think this has the potential to, you know, join that list of amazing musical events in Cincinnati. So what do you think, Sherry, the pie chart is of eras? Like, where are most people going to, what percentage? Why? We can ask Jolene. Do we have Jolene in the studio?
We do. Jolene, why don't you come over here? So Jolene is a super fan.
Super fan Jolene.
She covers Northern Kentucky for us, but also a lot of Taylor Swift coverage is going to be coming from her. You should definitely follow her on social media. She's going to tell you where. Why don't you pop in, Jolene? And like, she's a lot of my Taylor Swift information comes from her, you guys.
Can you answer that question? Like, what's the breakdown of eras?
So I think I can. I think 1989 is absolutely her biggest era as far as fans go.
So 40% 1989.
Let's just say 30% 1989. I can't really do math in my head.
Okay, you got 70 left.
Okay. So I think it's going to be in order 1989. I think Speak Now, because she just announced that there's going to be a new album. Then I'm going to say Red. Then I'd have to say, oh man. See, this is where I get caught up. Do you go Folklore era or do you go Reputation? It's going to be Reputation, Folklore, Evermore. Oh man, Midnights. I didn't mean to put that at the end. And then Lover, because everyone hates Lover. I think it's fantastic though. I'm really excited. I think you guys know I'm a big collector of Taylor Swift merchandise and limited merchandise, so I'll be writing those articles. And I'll be waiting Wednesday into Thursday at midnight and writing an article about what it's like to wait 10 hours for Taylor Swift merchandise. I'll be taking a lot of pictures and talking to a lot of fans. So if you want to check in on how I'm doing out there and staying hydrated, please check out theenquirer.com. Or also my social media. I'm at Jolene A1 on Twitter. And you can find plenty of photos and videos there.
So Jolene, what is your outfit?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so she just released the music video with Karma and Ice Spice. And there was a little glimpse of Devil Taylor. And that was a tip. That was a little Easter egg to Reputation, which might be my favorite album. So I'm wearing like an all black dress. I'm recreating the look of Devil Taylor. I've got this, I guess it's like a demon mask with big horns on the top, like goat horns. And then I have a black dress. I've got all kinds of like gold chains that she wore. And I've got, of course, the dark lip, the dark makeup. And I also have, are you ready? So I have floor seats and I'm 5'4". Everyone says that if you're 5'4", you don't end up getting to see a lot of the concert. Like you don't really get to see Taylor live. So I bought 6-inch platform heels, like the gothy style one. They're not high heels. They're just platforms. And so that makes me about as tall as Taylor Swift. And so I'm actually going to be able to see the concert really well. And so that's my
Unless
outfit.
Everyone is wearing platforms.
No. I'm ahead of the game. People are foolish enough to wear just regular high heels, and I'm too old for that. I will have like back problems or something.
Love it.
All right. That's my take
Thank
on
you,
merch
Jolene.
And eras.
You're welcome. I've learned so much. I've learned so much. Well,
we bring in the experts when we need them. Really, though, I mean, the big expert here is Dwayne. We really appreciate all of this. I want to ask you one more question because we were talking about it before we started. What does this mean to the Bengals to have her?
Well, we were talking about this earlier. I think it is something that we're proud of, right? the fact that Live Nation and the tour and Taylor Swift want to perform here in Cincinnati. And really, that's what it's about. I mean, great for the Bengals organization, yes. Great for Paycor Stadium, but great for this community. She's not playing anywhere else in Ohio. We're attracting from a massive Midwest region for people wanting to come to this show. And what I've loved, again, about this is that everyone in this community, everybody who has a role in pulling this off, all of our fans are all on the same page about making this an unbelievable experience. And that just, I think, if that doesn't make you proud, I don't know what will. That is, to me, so Cincinnati. Oh.
Well, we can't end it better than that, can
Agree.
We?
Agree. Thank you so much.
Dwayne, thanks.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Well, that was a lot of information. And I love it when a guest comes in prepared and brings the Cincinnati moment. That was classic.
I agree.
That he called it a Cincinnati moment. But we have some Cincinnati moments, or at least I do.
Yours is a very big one and very near and dear to your heart.
Near and dear to my heart.
There's nothing, you guys, it is summer in Cincinnati. I've been out like every single night. We're going to let Burl talk about something I'm planning on doing this weekend.
All right.
Something I know he's going to do.
So full disclosure, I'm involved in this event. It's the Paniiti Greek Festival. I've been involved in the festival since I was a kid. I mean, since I was a kid. And it is this weekend as we listen to this podcast. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Greek Orthodox Church in Finneytown. And I know a lot of people have been to it because I've seen a lot of people there. And what I wanted to share is something that I didn't realize until I left town, for various jobs before coming back, is that the Greek festival in Cincinnati is one of the biggest in the nation. You would think that like places like New York, where there are a lot of Greek immigrants, or Chicago, or even the D.C. area, which I've lived in, would have massive big festivals. But because there are multiple Greek Orthodox communities in those large cities, they have multiple festivals, and not any one of them got like mega, mega big like the one in Cincinnati. So we don't really have a way of measuring it, but we know just, you know, from comparing notes to other Greek Orthodox churches that do festivals, that the one in Cincinnati is massive, and it's become like an unofficial city festival, you know. So that's my Cincinnati moment.
Right,
I look forward to it every year.
Do a quickie pronunciation lesson.
We can.
Can you pronounce the festival again for me?
The festival, if you want to pronounce it authentically, you have to roll the R slightly at the end and say Paniiti.
Paniiti.
Paniiti. You can say Paniiti.
Oh, we're not doing this today.
But just roll that R, Paniiti. It means literally like pan, you know, the beginning, like all encompassing, like if you say, you know, I'm trying to think like words that have pan in the front, but I'm blanking right now, but all. And then the yiri at the end is the root is gyro in English, which means to go around. So it literally means all around, like everyone is all around. And it's how, you know, it's not a direct translation. It's more idiomatic.
But are we pronouncing it gyro?
No, we're not pronouncing it gyro.
Right.
You can.
Gyro, right?
And you know, so the Greeks are known for their hospitality. And this is a funny, I didn't know we're going to get into etymology now. So the word, there's multiple words for hospitality in Greek. One of them is philoxenia. And so philo, just like in Philadelphia, you know, city of brotherly love. So you have that root in the beginning, love. And then xenia means a stranger or a foreigner. So it's love of strangers. That really defines what Greek hospitality is all about. We don't know strangers. So if someone rolls up and says, may I have a gyro, please? We're not going to roll our eyes. We're going to like give them a gyro and slap them on the back and welcome to the festival. But just like Paniiti, it's pronounced gyro. Can you say that, Sherry?
Gyro.
That's good.
All right.
Fantastic.
So, but what do I want? Okay, so I would gravitate towards getting that. But
yeah.
Is there something that we should get that that's special to your heart?
Well,
as long as we're doing all the insider tips today, this will be like the insider tips podcast.
I mean, you can't go wrong with a gyro. We also do the skewered meat, which is called souvlaki, which is really good. There's Greek pizza. There are like dinners, like you can get a Greek chicken dinner or a lamb dinner with the classic Greek green beans and the Greek potatoes. You know, if Greek street food isn't your thing, we have those more classic dinners. Of course, those dinner options come with, you can get pastizio, which is the Greek casserole with the bechamel on top, or moussaka, which is similar, but instead of ground beef, it has eggplant. And of course, all the pastries, like 8 or 9 different varieties of pastries. And then the taverna, you know, Greek beer, Greek wine. And backed by popular demand is the Greek lemonade spiked with ouzo.
You made me a drink with ouzo last year. I'm intrigued.
So I don't mess around with all that food anymore. I'm working security. I'll be in the front, and I love that job because I am in the front and I can see everybody walking
in.
That's
always fun, and
it's always great.
So what you mean is a greeter, not security,
Exactly.
Right?
I'm like one of the Walmart greeters of the festival now. So, but it is this weekend, and there's lots going on, but that's always my Cincinnati moment is sharing, you know, being part of a group that shares, you know, their culture with the city at large. So there you go.
All right. Some good things coming up. All right. Thanks for listening, you guys. Follow us along on Cincinnati.com for Taylor Swift coverage. There's a lot coming. I can't even begin to tell you.